This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 12:04 p.m. on Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Audrey Raj.
Alvin Yivraj.
And Christine Wong is on the decks. Yeah, I'm dropping in some clubbing references here because it's a Friday. And also, it's a long weekend. We are asking you, have video games in any way affected your behavior? We've got some responses. And the reason why we're talking about this is because earlier on Monday, U.S. President Donald Trump, said that video games are the cause for violent behaviors and, inciting kind of like, violent culture. And it's not the first time, by the way, politicians of, any country has, put video games in that bracket. So we're asking you, has video games in any form or any way affected your behavior, whether it's good, whether it's bad? Maybe it's made you more calm at work, or maybe when you're stressed at home or at work, you decided to jump onto a video game, and has that had an effect on you? So get in touch with us. It's 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, and we're also on Instagram at BFM Radio, and also on Twitter, it's at BFM Radio. And then following that, we will be talking about the Premier League, but more specifically VAR,
Video Assistant Referee.
That will be a really interesting one, and also something to scare you before the weekend, the long weekend. A new WhatsApp flaw will put words in people's mouths.
Yes, it will.
Anyways, let's talk about video games, right? Because that has been like the talk of the week especially in the US since, unfortunate, horrific incidences that's happened in the US. I think there's like three over the course of, 4 weeks or so, or even less than that. Mm-hmm. And it's, it's very troubling times in the US, and this is not the first time that they've gone through something like this where mass shooting has happened and, gun laws are being debated yet again. But this time around, at the forefront of the victim and industries being affected, and that is the video game sector. So, many politicians are including video games in the list of potential causes that they're concerned about. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy spoke to Fox News over the weekend and said that the idea that these video games that dehumanize individuals, to have a game of shooting individuals, I've always felt that it is a problem for future generation and others. This is, again, this is from the House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy in the US. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or OAC, which is, she's mostly known for, she's a US representative. She replied in a tweet saying that video games aren't causing mass shootings, white supremacy is. So there's a whole battle of, the gun laws and where is this heading to, and people are just pointing fingers at each other, and now it's being pointed at video games. But interestingly, it's not the first time, like I mentioned at the start of the show, and there have been reports of studies that has been done to see, is there any correlation between video games and violent behaviors? And interestingly, among all the research that has been done, they have found no link between violent video games and the likelihood of committing violent crimes in real life. At most, such studies are able to show that exposure to violent video games can increase short-term measures of generalized aggression in laboratory settings, but any demonstrated effects are both very small and almost indistinguishable from effects produced by other media. So if you compare it with other media, video games is such a tiny fraction. And if you think about it, it's more than 165 million Americans who play video games, and billions around the world. We've no idea what the number is.
2.4 billion, apparently, according to Hasan Minhaj.
With this new episode.
And there could be more than that as well, right? So, why is this a video game problem when it only seems like, it's only a specific country that is going through this issue, right? So what I thought was interesting, there was a report on Vox that, they talked about this study. It's an experimental study done by Scott Cunningham, Benjamin Engelstadter, Lasser and also Michael Ward. And, you know, their report says that it's just generally not the case that video games lead to violent crimes. If anything, it's the opposite. Time spent playing video games actually reduces the amount of time that young men can get into mischief. The study's methodology is fairly simple. The method is very easy. So they compare the volume of sales of violent video games in a week among the top 50 best-selling video games from 2005 to 2008. And then they relate it to a marker of violent behaviors, weekly aggregated violent crime incidents from the National Incident-Based Reporting System. So they use time series modeling. It's and also instrumental in variable modeling. And either way you slice it, a very popular violent video game comes out, the violent crime goes down. No matter how you slice it, that was their conclusion. They even did a study on violent movies because that is the other thing that, you know, a lot of people are also probably saying, like, it's not just games, but, you know, the amount of Hollywood blockbuster movies that we're seeing. So they did a similar study on violent movies and they found the same thing. Whenever there's a new violent movie that comes out, violent crime goes down.
If you look at Time Magazine's new cover, it actually lists the amount of shootings that have happened. There are 253 US cities this year alone that had a mass shooting.
Oh, gosh.
And it's all in Time's cover, and then it's listed down, and then it says enough. So if you just compare the stats, 253 US cities, video games are big in Europe. They're huge in Japan. Like, you want to talk about video game culture, then you just look to Japan, and you don't see stats like this. You don't see stats that are anywhere close to this. There are no like 200 Japanese cities or 200 cities in Europe. No one mentions names like this other than the US. So for them to go and say that, you know, it's video games or people playing like violent video games, whether it's like Grand Theft Auto or any kind of like third person shooter, doesn't actually make sense because it doesn't compute. Even if you look at simple math and simple statistics, it doesn't amount to why are only Americans getting violent by playing video games. So is it like, are they saying it's a cultural thing, which goes back to the US again and again? It's coming back to the psychology, the psychiatry of the whole thing. Why is it only people in America have to play video games to become, I don't know, quote-unquote, like mass shooters?
I don't understand why it comes down to blaming media like video games and, like you said, you know, violent movies. I think back in the day, they used to blame these things on rap music. You know, it's, you know, it celebrates violence, apparently. But there's really no studies or correlation to prove this. And yet it seems to be the thing that politicians seem to fall back on instead of blaming things like, you know, your gun laws.
What do you do in your, you know, so a lot of us consider video games as like your third space, you know. Have your office and then your, you know, your workplace and then your home, right? And then the third space is, you know, most of us, it could be your video game. And actually, we did a story on third spaces on the 11th of March. So you can, you know, look up for that podcast if you want to know more a little bit about third spaces. But, you know, it's fascinating to see how, yeah, it's just finger pointing at the moment. It used to be pointed at, you know, music and, you know, the rap music. Now it's video games. But it's also because the video game sector has grown so big right now, right? And we've got, actually, we've got Alex Fernandez from Streamline Studios who, you know, will sort of give in his take of, you know, how does he feel being part of the video game industry? And then, you know, now you've got politicians who are pointing the fingers at you for, you know, causing, you know, such things, right? And just to, there was a report that I managed to find, and it is actually looking at the 2019 essential facts about computer and video game industries. It's a fascinating report. It's a lot of numbers in there. It is done by ESA, which is Entertainment Software Association. Of course, it focuses only in the US. And it said that, you know, 2018 was a record-breaking year for the video game industry, with a total video game sales of exceeding 43.4 billion US dollars just in 1 year. Over 164 million adults in the US play video games. Three quarters of all Americans have at least one gamer in their household. And video game players represent a diverse cross-section of the American population, spanning every age, gender, and ethnicity. More than three quarters report video games provide them mental stimulation, 79%, as well as relaxation and stress relief. The role of video games in American family also is changing. Nearly three quarters, about 74% of parents believe video games can be educational for their children, and more than half, that's 57%, enjoy playing video games with their child at least weekly. So it's a fascinating report. You can go online and just look up for that report. But yeah, I totally agree. Because Arv, like, what's your favorite video game?
God of War.
Are you a violent person?
No.
He doesn't seem to be a violent person.
He doesn't seem to be a violent person.
He's the most calmest person I've ever met. Yeah.
But God of War.
So God of War. And that's a destructive game.
It's a hyper-violent game. It's a hyper-violent game, but...
Hyper-violent.
No, God of War is a hyper, like a super-violent game. But it makes you analyze things, a lot of puzzles, a lot of levels. You need to think when trying to get from one level to the other level. Also, whenever a new God of War comes out, I actually learn a lot about time management. Because I need to manage my days around the video game so I get enough time, like in the night or whenever, to play it a few hours. So that's one thing it has taught me.
All right, let us know what are your thoughts on this. Have video games in any way affected your behavior? Get in touch with us, 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp and also at BFM Radio on Twitter and Instagram. We'll reply your messages right after this, and also we'll speak to Alex Fernandez, BFM 89.9.
Bright. Formidable Media. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Audrey Raj.
Arvind Raj.
And we are asking you, have video games in any way affected your behavior? We've asked your feedback on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, and then on Instagram and Twitter, it's at BFM Radio. Let's move on to Twitter. Arv, what do we have?
Yeah, so this comes from Nick, who says, this is just a sweeping generalization and putting blame on an easy target. I've played FPS or first-person shooter games for 10 years, and I am not a crazed shooter. I've also played FIFA for 8 years, and I am no closer to being a professional footballer.
Ouch. That's a self-burn there.
Point
like, you
noted.
Know,
yeah. Looking at Insta story, we've got quite a few responses here. This is from Dreamy Mun, who says, this should be a two-way question from the player point of view and those who are close to them. Good point. The Ben Bag says, you know, made me a bit lazy. RX Unicorn says, not me, but my younger brother. He has become more impatient and more impulsive.
Huh, interesting. That's kind of like a very similar response that I got on WhatsApp. Number ending 7810 says that video games kind of showed me who I really am and the problems that I have and the things that I need to deal with, because I realize that I do have anger issues or get agitated really quickly. So, you know, that's one of the things that maybe, you know, you didn't realize about yourself, and then, you know, when you play some video games, you realize, hang on a minute, why am I getting a bit too agitated angry here? Maggie Bass says, among non-violent effects on my behavior is mainly I've had pain in the neck, shoulders, wrists. What incites that rush of anger is usually hearing some leader making some unwise decision and shooting off their mouse and, you know, going against your team lead. So Maggie Bass, you know, hopefully you play some solo games instead then. Maybe that's some advice for you. Maybe play some farm Wheel instead and these non-violent games. We've got one more. Justin Chi says, video games as a whole inspired me to become a game journalist. That was 12 years ago. Now I have a very own gaming portal. So there you go.
Nice.
Very nice. And I'll just drop it off. His gaming portal is called Game Hub. So there you go.
Game Hub.
We'll check it out. Thank you so much for all those responses. We've also actually spoken to Alex Fernandez, who is the founder of Streamline Studios. And, you know, with all these pointing fingers at the video game industry, we started off by just asking him, like, what's your response to these repeated allegations of a link between violent video games and violent crime?
No, I mean, I think it's easy to scapegoat something that is not important and honestly not even real. I think one of the biggest issues we have is that rather than basically dealing with really the main issue, which is psychiatric issues and lax gun laws, we basically see people rather go for what is just easy to understand. I mean, people get moving pictures, they get antisocial behavior, they get basically a very simple correlation between, oh, if you must play, you must act. But by that same type of behavior and that type of understanding, we would do the same thing, that if you defraud and go bankrupt, you too could probably be a thief. So, you know, it's just one of those things that you can't do those type of correlations. So I think that ultimately in the end, it's just an easy way for politicians to have a talking point rather than actually doing their job. That's pretty much it. They don't want to legislate. They just want to basically blame.
And are violent video games as persuasive and pervasive and popular as they've made out to be in these narratives?
You know what the thing is? Like, if you look at the sales data, the reality is that, yes, there are games that basically are first-person shooters that sell, but the reality is the biggest selling games of all time, whether they be Mario or Legend of Zelda or even Pokemon, I mean, I don't see people going out eating mushrooms and basically getting high because they see Mario do it. So, I mean, that's kind of one of those things. It doesn't make any sense.
And are you, as a video gamer designer, a video game designer, ever hesitant to include violent elements or create violent-centric games because of, you know, this sort of a stigma that's around the industry?
You're as concerned as much as that you can basically control individuals. I mean, because I can go see a soccer match and basically root for my team. Does that make me a hooligan when I come out and want to break stuff? I mean, I think that the reality is people have self-determination and accountability. We, as makers of content, obviously we decide to basically put in and create what we want, but in the end of the day, there's still a human being that has to make a decision on how they behave and how they conform to society. So, you know, obviously we talk about it within the industry, but ultimately at the end of the day, it's you release a product. I can't control what you decide to go do if you have one of these insane ways of being. And honestly, that moment in time, I think the game isn't what's creating that. It's the fact that you probably have a life that you need to go get checked up upon. So I think it's more about looking and saying, listen, we do realize that things happen. That's why we have age ratings. That's why we also have effective hotlines for people to talk to. I mean, that's why in the end of the day, a lot of these games are multiplayer, so people do communicate with each other. There's communities. So, I mean, for the amount of people that actually play, I mean, there's billions of gamers out there, you know, to sit there and try to link it directly into this, it just doesn't make any sense.
And Alex, have you noticed any shifts in the kinds of games consumers purchase with the rise of this violent video game narrative?
Well, I mean, listen, here's the thing. I mean, if you look at basically the fastest growing segment of our industry, it's mobile games, right? And mobile games don't necessarily have these type of themes. So a lot of the fast moving product that's out there right now generally tends to do with concentration, match three, puzzling, working with your friends, cooperating. I mean, look at effectively the Minecraft. Minecraft is digital Legos. I mean, does that make me go out there and see the world in pixels and start building things on the street? No, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, people will basically make games that they think that will sell, but more are creative expression. So I think, you know, looking at it, I don't think that people are making more because they think this is the way to make money. I think they're making works of art and things of creativity, so they themselves are choosing what they think is important. I mean, always for you know, never forget that basically, you know, games are nothing more than art, engineering, design, and psychology mixing together, and you have to find fun, and fun isn't necessarily running around blowing stuff up.
I don't think we all can disagree with Alex Fernandez here. And you know, it makes perfect sense, and you know, it is true. And also, like, you know, we talked about, you know, how there are certain video games that really just help you with these third spaces, but it doesn't mean that you would do it in real life. For example, like, he gave Minecraft. The one example I gave, like, I remember there was this really popular cat video game, Nico Atsume. Everyone was playing it, you know, where you could have your own cats, you adopt kittens and stuff, and you know, next thing you know, you are owner of like a 100 different cats and so on and so forth. None of my friends who played that game decided to adopt a cat in real life. So,
ever.
Yeah, ever. Like, you know.
And remember when Candy Crush was a craze? I mean, nobody really went around like crushing candy in real life too.
Yeah, exactly that. Alex Fernandez, he is the founder of Streamline Studios. They are also contributors to games like Final Fantasy VII, Street Fighter V, and also Bioshock Infinite. That's just like a number of like a few games that you may know because they went global. These are like, Triple A games titles. So.
Also stuff like Street Fighter and like Mortal Kombat, like since you mentioned Street Fighter. Yeah, I think those were some of like people's first games that they played on arcade and stuff. And Mortal Kombat is the most violent game that you can find. It's one of the most, it started the violence, quote unquote, in video games. I don't think you see many people who play Mortal Kombat actually trying to act out Mortal Kombat in real life.
Yeah, and you know, I was super good at Daytona, maybe say about 10 years ago when I was much younger, but that I don't drive like that on the streets here. I could if I wanted to, I think.
Let us know, what are your thoughts on this? Have video games in any way affected your behavior? You could WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, or you could tweet us or Insta story us. It's at BFM Radio. We will get back to your responses after this. This is Bob Dylan with Blowing in the Wind, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.